and start out with a public comment. It looks like we've got a gallery here.
Yeah, right.
Would you like to talk today, gallery?
Yes, please. I did sign up for a public comment.
I didn't walk over there. I was lazy.
I just wanted to make sure that it's front of the gym. I am Melania Allen with the Light Neighborhood Association for Students. Probably most of you already know that. However, I have been talking to several different community stakeholders as well as our board, executive board regarding several things and also to our partners. And of course, as you know, we partner with Vineland Kids Fishing. Every year, and one day of that.
Kleinline what?
Kleinline Kids Fishing. One day, it's an educational opportunity for kids for $5. They get a reel, they get the fishing rod, they get the t-shirt, they get the hat, and an opportunity to win prizes to show them that recreation includes sports like fishing as well as good stewardship. And of course, we partner with them as a Lighter Neighborhood Association, but also as individuals. And they've had some problems in the past with coming up with parking fees. And then when the parking fees went away, of course, they were very happy, rejoicing, and everything else. Of course, one year, several of us have gone to the Board of Commissioners and got those park fees waived. But on a Friday, when we have the disabled kids coming out, they really, those families really cannot afford to pay parking fees. And then also on the next day, when we have a lot of kids in need coming out, because the Lighter Neighborhood Association provides about 300 scholarships for them to come out, even though it's $5, some of them cannot afford it. They cannot pay for the parking fees. So therefore, ergo, the parking fees were being assessed against the volunteer sponsor, nonprofit, 501c3, to pay for that, and it was a huge chunk of money, and of course, we have to pay for everything, including the fishing rods, including the nets, including the restocking, and other incidentals. So, that is a great opportunity for kids to learn not only about the healthy choices, healthy communities, recreational opportunities, as well as the parks themselves, and become good leaders. Maybe they'll be sitting on this path, you know, 10 years from now. So when you are talking to the Board of Commissioners regarding, or they're talking to you about raising the parking or the institute of parking fees in those areas where the parking fees were, if you could please at least meet with some of those stakeholder groups and provide those services to the community and see how they feel about having to pay those parking fees again. And we would rather put the money into the kids' enjoyment than to spend it on parking fees. So I, L. Jaffe and myself and a couple of others, would like to meet with you, Bill, maybe, you know, sometime in the future and discussing also how that impact the community as well as the organizations. And then with the picnic shelter reservations, if you're gonna expand it to the community parks, please keep in mind that the Vallida Neighborhood Association paid for that picnic shelter in the Vallida Community Park. And that we should not have to pay the same fees as somebody for a wedding or something else, because the community event that we hold there on July 4th, that brings in about 5,000 people, is free of charge to the public. It is part of education, part of outreach, and again, showing the kids how they can get involved in their community. So maybe if there could be a consideration or a caveat when we're talking to the Board of Commissioners, to say that the parties that built the picnic shelters should have at least an opportunity of one event per year, you know, where we don't have to make those reservation fees, because at one time I think they gave us a huge, almost $1,000 estimate, pay for it, but we were negotiating that and said, hey, listen, we put it in the shelter, we pay for everything. Actually, the Parks Foundation still owes us some money for that. And so please consider that when you're talking to Board of Commissioners, because many folks don't realize how much community involved, how much value added came from the community. About $1 million is what to build the whole entire Valletta Park to begin with. So we sure appreciate it.
That's good, Melata.
Thanks, Melata.
Yes.
And just to clarify on that, your concern is not with the implementation, for example, with a parking fee. It's for specific events that are held that draw a large, lower income portion of the community. And if there were a fee holiday, say, for that single event, you would have no issue with the parking fee.
And I actually have testified several times and the Board of Commissioners has spoken to the Board of Commissioners prior to them doing away with the parking fees. Because in my opinion, those are necessary to keep the maintenance up and to keep the park's integrity as well as the quality environment and clientele.
Could you start thinking about other options for us to raise revenues that can counter what you're talking about here, because you know we're way behind the ball game in terms of revenue to do a quality park system. So I love what I'm hearing there, but I also know that if we don't have parks that are nice and clean and safe for people, all the free parks in the world won't do any good.
And you're talking about the park.
I'm talking about overall. If we're going to waive fees, we need to counter that with something else.
Exactly. And of course, I think that the Valletta Neighbor Association has been a good partner of parks. We have been bringing in some quote unquote in kind as well as partnerships.
Yeah.
And we keep throwing partnerships in your way, and keep exposing you to other opportunities to partner with other folks. So we believe that there's some value added, but I'm only asking to do it for a specific event, not.
Well, just be watching for opportunities for us to bring in revenue, because as we do those kinds of things, that's hurting the bottom line of. Building
of course,
a good
I'm
job.
I'm going to be about six times a year, and the parks are always mentioned as value added to the community, as well as the lobby for a legislative assistant to be assigned to sports/recreation, which finally had happened after about six terms.
Yeah, Valletta has definitely been a strong advocate for parks, so, and we do thank you for that.
Thank you.
Maybe just a suggestion that maybe the Valletta neighborhood or whoever's benefiting from this picnic, maybe think about a day where you have volunteers and Valletta neighbors clean up a local park or something, just
we
a suggestion.
We are actually doing that. We are not signed up for a formal program because we don't want any insurance for our folks. But we actually do it as individuals, almost on a weekly basis. And we're doing it quietly without asking for any recognition, so that's not why I'm saying that. But we're doing that, but we're also providing value added through different amenities that we provide for the parks, including benches, picnic tables, landscaping, plantings.
You sold us.
You sold us. Thanks, Melata.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
Yeah, our very last meeting. Our very last meeting with our friend Leanne. So, God, I meant to bake a cake and I just didn't. What can I say, but gosh. So we'll start there with the round table for introductions.
All right, well, Leanne Mattis, I'm with Park County Public Works, and this will be my last PAB meeting, unless you guys need me for some reason, you know how to find me. And I want to introduce Laura Hilty.
Say your name again.
Laura Hilty, and she is taking my place with Parks, so she's going to be attending these meetings from now on, and
H-I-L-T-Y.
Yes.
Happy to have her.
Yeah, she's going to do a great job.
Welcome.
You guys are going to love her.
Thank you.
We don't want to intimidate you, but gosh, we're glad to have someone back on board. She's been juggling really fast lately.
And dropping some balls as I juggle.
Me too.
Well, if we do that, we don't have an excuse, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lori Lebowski, Community Planning.
Kelsey Potter, PAB.
Kelly Putney, PAB.
Barbara Anderson, PAB.
Jay Chester, PAB.
Dave Weston, PAB.
Temple Lentz, Parks Foundation.
Chairman Canute, Clark County Parks.
Bill Bierke, Parks Manager.
Okay, we've got minutes from our last meeting. Let's take a minute to review those. Even though we need to make a little, did you get feedback, Bill, from Amanda on that RCW I showed you? I'm just looking at the motion we did for the youth.
I haven't heard back from her yet.
Haven't heard back from her yet.
I have not heard back from her yet.
Well, that is the motion as we placed it.
So. Yes. So we need to. I'll ask her after this meeting and see what she says.
Okay. Yeah. You're just because we need her.
Dive into it and see. And yeah. She might be asking the other attorneys as well for their response.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah, that's why Battlegrounds, I guess, is non-voting. Okay. Motion for the meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I wasn't here, so.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Bill, you're on deck with our October field trip.
Okay.
It was the last one for the year, wasn't it, with the weather? Or are we going to try to do another?
Yeah, unless there's something compelling that you guys want to see. We had a great field trip, and I think it might be in here somewhere. I just wanted to double check. Maybe it made it in here. Oh, it's on the back side. On the very back page is the manager's notes. Flip that over, and this is our field trip itinerary. And so on the very back of your packet, it should be the last page of your packet. And the notes are on the front side.
Oh, here we go.
So we last Friday, essentially, we got together. It was a two-hour trip, so it was really quick. But we went and looked at primarily all the new acquisitions that we've picked up this year. And of course, Curtin Springs Wildlife Habitat was our first stop. And we got a chance to walk out and take a look at everything. It was neat. West Minnehaha is the new 5-acre piece that we just purchased, and that's being cleared right now as we speak. Heritage Farm, which has been in the county holding for many years, but just came over to Parks, you know, from General Services. So we stopped, took a look at that, ran up to the top of the hill, looked at the cemetery. North Fairgrounds, that's another new neighborhood park that we acquired. And Jeremy's actually working on that right now. The house has been torn down and it's being fenced right now. And we went up to Camp Hope, largely because we're doing a master plan on that, as you well know. And that's going in front of the board on November 9th for a planning work session, that is. And then we'll try to get that through consent thereafter. And then we went out to Prairie Fields, which is a new acquisition as well. And so we also made a stop by Tower Crest, which was kind of en route. So we decided to stop by there and look at the progress of the site. We didn't get a chance to go out to Sorensen because of the time constraints. But it was a nice field trip. It didn't rain on us, which I thought was good. And so if any of you have ideas for the next field trip, I'd be certainly willing to hear, but we are contending with weather. And I don't know if we need to, you know, make weather a deciding factor because it's gonna be wet between now and June of next year.
Yeah.
So if there's something that you wanna go see, let me know. We'll schedule a trip and meet out there. We can always bring umbrellas.
Does Heritage Farms connect with Hazeldale Park?
It does, yes.
So it's the north boundary and the south boundary are?
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure if you've heard, but we recently did a boundary line adjustment. The original fence line of Hazeldale Community Park, you know, fenced in. Mm-hmm. We actually own 5 acres behind that on top of the farm. We swapped the farm, that 5 acres, for 5 acres along this, the road. So we put a parking lot, a brand new parking lot along the main road there, which will serve as a parking lot for the farm and the park.
You swapped with land though?
Yeah, 5 acres. That's way up on top of the hill above the farm.
With who?
With the farm.
With the farm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And as a result, of course, the master plan for the farm is, it shows a community center, or a children's learning center, mm-hmm. On the piece that we acquired. So we're thinking about if we're going to, when we put that back in, it would go on 78th Street. It's a great spot for it.
So basically, we now are responsible to manage the farm through the agreements that you have with.
Correct. Okay. Yes. And then in addition, if you're not familiar with the DES move.
Did we plant another hand on your shoulder or something?
Well, actually, we got Pat Lee, and we got the Legacy Lands program.
Okay.
And so I put Pat Lee over the management of the farm. So it's not an extra burden to me, per se. So that was a good move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
You bet.
The next thing we put back on the agenda, even though it was there and we discussed this last time, is the youth board member. And that's because as I was doing some research for the training stuff we're working on, Dave, I came upon an RCW that actually empowers us. You know, because we're empowered at both the state and local ordinances. And I found it interesting because within that document, it also made sense to me why we don't carry the title of park commissioners while some of the other areas do, and it's whether the class of city they're in. So just FYI, there's logic behind that and not a matter of not carrying value. But within that document, it stated that we're empowered to have a local, if they choose, a parks advisory board of 7 members. And I said, oh goodness, because if we add 2 voting members, do we then want to sacrifice 2 of our existing members? And I don't think the answer would be yes, but that's just my thought on it. And so I asked Bill, you know, for a legal interpretation of it, because I'm not a lawyer and such, but I think it was pretty clear in there. And as I went through some of the other organizations and the RCW that they're empowered under as well, that 7 seems to be the magic number. And so before moving forward and asking the commissioners to do something that would be illegal, I thought we should maybe take a step back and say, gosh, we don't want to give these new members a feeling that we don't value them by not giving them votes. But I think it may end up that we need to decide voting, non-voting, and have youth. Thoughts, your thoughts.
Has the PA's office, has Amanda?
Amanda was here last
yeah.
meeting, and she was going to look into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's gotten an answer, because I haven't
yeah.
heard from her yet on that.
And so I
was going to follow up with her this week, and I forgot to call her this week,
yeah.
but I know it's on her to-do list. And I just want to, we need to move ahead with this, obviously.
Yeah, we'd like to move forward with it because.
We could move ahead with a non-voting and
move ahead with non-voting, and if it's possible, then do it as a voter. I'd like to see us not, especially if we only connect for a special meeting in November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want us to wait until December to take action on this. So could we maybe revise the motion from last time? Is that acceptable? I'm not hearing.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think it's.
Oh, it's right. It's right.
I don't remember the exact word.
Oh, okay. Here it is. Right here. To request that the ordinance be revised to allow 2 youth 15 to 20 years of age when applying for the position to the Clark County Parks Advisory Board members with full voting rights. We would just eliminate that last statement.
But yeah. with the caveat, if we get legal permission,
we
to
just have to
still legal right
here.
Yeah. yeah.
So the caveat would be at the end there.
Yeah.
The full voting rights when
yeah.
legally appropriate.
Yeah. Because it's the same as the 2 school board members
yeah.
are ex officio, as well as the Parks Foundation. They don't count towards that membership of 7. So that was the only real solution that I could see. But of course, we want the legal interpretation.
Yeah.
And if we get that in the next week, we'll know which way to move forward. So if we could have a motion that says that to up to that point, and then if Amanda gives a legal interpretation that they may be added as voting members, that the requests go that way, otherwise as non-voting members.
David, since you made the motion first place, you want to
amend? So I make a motion to modify the previously approved motion to add that the youth members will have full voting rights if allowed by law.
Perfect.
And I'll second.
I like that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to make the revision to the previous motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great, motion carries. That way we can keep moving forward with that. Partnership meeting coming up. I'm so jazzed about this, folks. I think this is really the nexus that we've been trying for several years, ever since we came into being. And it's exciting, and I see that you actually make copies for everybody of my presentation.
We brought them, but if you, we don't need to pass them out if you want to, or if you pass them out.
Oh, well, everybody's got them. Everybody's got them at their place. Anyway, that's you don't need to look at that.
But I can take those back with me if you want me to.
Oh, no, I'll take these with me. I want to get them all assembled, ready to go.
I'll bring the signs. I think you said you wanted those, or?
I'll stop by later and get
them. Okay, that sounds good.
Anyway, the plan is moving forward. Jay and Candace have gracefully agreed to come help carry stuff and set up. We've got 27 members of PAB across the various jurisdictions, and La Center is also in. And I haven't heard back from Jeff from Yakult, but that's not unusual, and he may very well show up anyway. He usually does. And Kelsey has agreed to help do some bacon.
Brace yourselves.
Bless her heart. Oh, they're box stuff, and I got them
in the car.
Right? Yes, because I've got a lot, obviously, on my plate, and she's not. She may make it if her babysitter shows up.
Yeah.
But at this point, her babysitter pooped out. So we've got a good showing there. Kelly's making some of his great soup. Bill is fixing the noodles in the gravy. Somebody told me it's not sauce, it's gravy. But that's what the Italians call it. And I had to laugh. Okay, I'll have some noodles and gravy. So I'm very, very excited. If you haven't had a chance to take a look at the Blue Ribbon Commission report, you don't have to read the whole darn thing, folks. I know that. Roy is going to come and talk to us about it, go through the whole history. But there's some really, really good stuff there that can move us forward on some of the things that we've talked about for several years that need to take place here in Clark County. So I'm excited with that. If it turns out that you can show up and you don't have your name on the list, come anyway. There'll be extra food because that's the way Bill cooks.
Barbara, who did you say is going to present the history of the Blue Ribbon Commission?
Roy Hecla.
Roy Hecla, okay.
Yeah, and we've also got Marie Bouvier is going to be there. She was on the commission.
Okay.
So was Debbie Hansen. Suzanne Grover, I think, was on it too. So we've got several members participating from that commission. But it's really exciting stuff. And I've got the Ridgefield Marie and Chris and Roy from Vancouver, because we all recognize that in order for us to really move this forward, we need to come together and collaborate collectively. And so I've spent a lot of time in little side meetings and stuff trying to get that moving, and I'm excited to say I think it's going forward. Next thing on our agenda is the PAB logo, and I did a little research. I've talked with Holly from the VOCC office. She's their PIO type person, and she's given me some good guidance. What I have here is trying to take from our discussion last time that Jennifer Halleck led and put it into words But I ended up with some questions, because in order for us to take this to the schools, they don't want to just have me come and say, hey, do a logo for us. They want the guidelines and the rules and et cetera. So that's what I sent out to you earlier this week for review. And you'll notice that I put some questions in here as well. You know, the whole appendix thing where I pulled out from our comp plan, our mission and vision and goals. I don't know any young kid that's really going to bother reading that, which is why I didn't put it in here, but tried to summarize it for them in this first little paragraph where I say that we're looking for a logo that would graphically reflect the PAB mission, vision, and goals, and I just said see appendix. And then I gave them some bullet points of consider that the PAB advocates for not only parks, but also trails, sports fields, and open spaces. And some suggested graphics that were brought up in the meeting were evergreen trees, trails, picnic tables, parks, and that we're literally looking for a creative interpretation to reflect the Clark County PAB. I think that that's the thing that will drive them, is giving them some examples instead of giving them the formal verbiage of what our vision, mission, and goals are. There might be one of them that gets into that detail. Also stated that it needs to be somewhat compatible with the Clark County logo, because we'll use that in conjunction with it. But we said that it did not need to stick with that color scheme. So that's there. Was there anything that I missed?
We probably should add something to it about the printing space, because when you put a logo on a page, it's got to fit.
Oh, well, that's down here into this other area then. You're right. When that actually is down here under the submission guidelines.
Oh, I see.
That it needs to be submitted as a transparent, scalable vector graphic in EPS format, and also as a JPEG.
Right.
Okay?
That's
what I just did. So, yes, you're exactly right. That needs to be there. But I wasn't going to put that in the English. I put it in the requirements. The eligibility is, I got to thinking afterwards that I should probably scratch the word art out here on number one under eligibility. Should be open to any Vancouver student, even if they're not taking an art class.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I'll scratch that out. That struck me afterwards that it might be, oh, somebody thinks I have to be an art student to submit. And that nobody in our families is eligible. That seems fair. Is there any other rules that we need to consider for eligibility? No? Okay. I put it out here. This is obviously flexible, but I set it out for February 28th of next year, because I figure it's going to take at least another month to get all the ducks in line before this can go out. You know, I'd like to think I could work faster, but I don't. So I thought we need to give them at least a couple of months. But we need to have it out to them before the new term starts. So that's, in my mind, my objective is connecting with the art teachers and such prior to that date. But then I got over here to the prices. You can go through the rest of the submission guidelines. It's just a matter of specific formats and giving them some things that we don't need anything that can be shrunk to a favicon, that entrants should ensure that their entries are not in anywhere similar to existing logos or other copyrighted images, and that the logo must contain the text, and we said this either PAB or CC PAB, and then it may optionally contain the term Parks Advisory Board in a smaller, non-significant role of the logo. And the logo should contain no other text besides that required allowed above. That way we don't get somebody who wants to put our motto there, you know, whatever. Any additions to the submission guidelines? No?
I had a question. I guess not. It's under judging and selection of winner.
Okay.
I guess I have two questions. One, do we have to use the winners? Like, if you get, I'm just thinking, you say you get one submittal and it's horrendous, Are we obligating ourselves to use that?
No, where is that? That's in here, just that.
Okay. And then the second thing was about the publicity purposes. So if they're minors,
okay,
and they're selecting the prize, then parents have to be involved?
Yeah, or? The parents have to be involved anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's up here. Let's see. Let's blah, blah. Enter message here and attest to parental consent to enter this contest. Okay. Email name, blah, blah, blah. No more than 3 entries. Entries must conform to submission guidelines. We'll attempt to acknowledge all entries within 1 week. However, we cannot be responsible for entries or responsible. No fee to enter the contest. Here we go, judging them. I'm sure I put in here.
It's number 4 on how to enter.
Constitutes me.
The parental consent.
Okay. But that's also the accepting, was even.
Under
on how to enter, you have it.
Oh.
Number 4.
Okay, yeah. Must secure an attest to parental consent, yes. But I was looking for that one that we don't have to use it, because I know that's in here.
Oh, that's number 2, on judging.
PAB reserves the right not to select a winner if, in its sole discretion, no suitable entries are received. So I thought I hit on that. And the winner will be required to sign a contract assigning all ownership of the logo to PAB, which is just normal.
So if we select one, it's becoming the logo.
Yeah, it's yeah. No, we'll own it. We don't have to use it.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
You've gone to a great deal of effort to put this together.
So
pretty thorough.
Yeah. So the question here is. I'm sorry, it's been a while since I had kids. What the heck would a kid want? Well, you know, because the things that would drive me, you know, give me a $50 gift card to go talk to Mark down there at Beaches and I'd be all over drawing a logo. I'm not sure that would drive a kid. So I thought, you guys that have got kids, help me out here. What do I want to go and beg for?
Amazon gift card.
Amazon is not going to give us a donation.
I'll chip in for an Amazon gift card.
Yeah, but
I would.
There are a lot of vendors around here that.
Oh, well, she just offered though. Well, let's go.
I'm not buying the whole gift card, Kelly.
I'll go with you.
A couple $100 at Amazon, I know, would even my 7-year-old granddaughter wants a silicone doll would be all over that one. But. There's nothing local that we could do.
Well, one of the things I'd suggest is go to Chick-fil-A. They are still swamped with people trying to get in and see them. So if they would donate a gift card or some type of thing,
I know the guy who's got the.
You know the guy that owns franchise, then talk to him because I guarantee you kids are flocking there.
Kids are flocking there.
Oh, yeah.
So a Chick-fil-A gift card. So we could do several gift cards.
Yeah, you could do several gift cards, something like that.
Kids like food.
Yeah, kids like food.
Drive-through, and it's a cool place to be. And if you everybody's bragging about how long they had to wait to get their sandwich, which personally drives me crazy. But hey.
Okay. So Chick-fil-A.
Dutch Brothers.
Along with maybe we all can throw in $10 to a. I was trying to avoid that.
I think the card is enough, personally.
Yeah. So we'll do a gift card. Well, I gotta put something there. You're gonna get it, and then I think that Don down on the spot will be good about doing a trophy for us, because they'll want that bragging rights, right? And then I'm gotta work with Holly, but she was sure that the BOCC would be in with supporting this and making a big deal of their receiving it.
Definitely go Dutch Brothers.
Dutch Brothers.
I don't think they donate anything to Dutch Brothers.
They make a lot of donations and charity sort of
Do that. Contributions.
I'm not familiar with Dutch Brothers.
Just like Costco. Oh, okay.
Both of
them out
there.
There's one on Highway 99 where Steak Burger used to be.
Oh, okay. So. Great. Super. Well, I'll work on those donations, or if someone else has a contact to do that, that'd be great. I'll clean this up, work with Holly, and we'll shoot to get this out before December.
I'd be happy to pitch into whatever. So
okay. Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get it donated. I always think it's great how, let's see, I donate my time, and then I pay a babysitter, and then I throw money in the hat all the time. So I try to avoid asking people, you know?
Okay. Especially in the same volunteer.
Yeah. All righty.
You have to contact like the Reflector or the Columbian and just do a little spot on it as well.
Yes.
You know, we can get that done ahead of time, so let them know what's happening.
Yeah, well, I've talked with Holly, but I'll probably work with Jeff.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Because he's our man of the hour. But yes.
So as far as getting this out to the art teachers, are you going to rely on Chris and Jennifer to do the two schools and you can do the rest of the
program? No, I will. I've talked with Jennifer about that, so we can talk offline on that.
Okay.
All right. Great. Have logo discussion. Oh, goody. Bill, you're up on this one.
Well, normally we would just kind of go over the concurrency and the amounts that we brought in, but we've got a little different story to tell. Lori can help me out with this, but after our field trip, came back and noticed that we had 3 one-on-one counselor sessions planned, and that was largely because with the implementation rate, you know, of course, with the PIF increase that PAB pushed forward and that the Planning Commission pushed forward, and then it was ultimately approved by the councilors, you know, as they were still under the impression that they had the ability to change the implementation rate. And since then, they were told, no, you can change it, but it would have to be through a docket system, and the earliest they could change the implementation rate would be January 1, 2018. Since then, our legal department has found not a loophole, but the ability for them to make that change as a part of or concurrent with the budget process that's being adopted this year. And so they can open up a piece of that comprehensive plan and amend it. And so that prompted the question, you know, we've heard from some of the counselors that they were not exactly happy with the implementation rate of 80% the first year, 90% the second year, and 100% the third year. And so Lori and I met with the counselors, as well as our legal departments, and Oliver was there, and Heath. It was just kind of a quick, let's get together and talk about this. And so it was presented to them that we could actually, the modeling can change if they so desire, or if they want to make that happen. But as a part of that meeting, we talked to 3 of the 5 counselors, Councilor Olson, Councilor Bull, Councilor Stewart. And to our surprise, a couple of the counselors said, leave it alone. One of them wanted to take a harder look at changing up the implementation rate to a lesser amount the first year. And so, as a result, we were instructed to go back to actually come up with new modeling. And so what we called Steve Dew with Conservation Techniques, who helped us with the original PIF increase, to help to have him put some different models together for us. So what we've heard so far from the 3 counselors is 20% per year over a 5-year period, 50% the first year, and then 25-25, 60%, plus 10, 10, 10, 10, and then I think there was 4 25s, I believe. I think that was the fourth one. And so there's 4 different models we're looking at, and also along with that, the models also tell how it affects our capital facilities plan. So working with Steve Dew, luckily he had a little bit of time on his hands this weekend, sounds like, but we need to get this back from him by late next week, so we get that back to the counselors for the review and staff. And so what I think is going to happen is with 2 of the counselors saying leave it alone, and 1 counselor kind of being a swing vote counselor, that we probably can predict that the other 2 of the 5 counselors will probably vote no. We don't know where this is going to go. So largely, we're going to present that information to them and then let them take a look and see. That, of course, the counselors were very, very concerned about what this Parks Advisory Board thinks about, you know, that. They're concerned about, you know, upsetting the Parks Advisory Board, because it's the Parks Advisory Board who initially supported this. And so that's in their minds. So I just want you to know that. So anything to add to that? Lori?
I guess just the background on this, and you may wonder why the interpretation's changing from the attorneys. That's because when we were going through the comp plan update, I don't know if you recall or if you were reading the Columbian at the time, but there was one counselor that accused the attorneys in the PA's office of wrongdoing, and so under advice from the local bar association, they had to stop representing community planning. So we had an attorney out of Seattle who was brought on at the last minute to advise us, and he was the one who said, you can change it at any time. That was his interpretation. Different attorneys have different views of different interpretations. We have our regular attorneys back, and their view is that you can't just change it because it affects the capital facilities plan. And if you want to change the capital facilities plan, you go through a docket. So that's kind of what started this. Also, I had put a placeholder docket item for the park impact fees because they did want to revisit them. And when we had the work session with the board last week, there was a couple of them that were really unhappy, or one specifically was really unhappy about the fee rates, the implementation of that. But that's the background. That's why they were up.
And I guess I kind of struggle with this a little bit, and I know it's really on us for not bringing and forcing the PIF update earlier. But, you know, it's like when I go to the dentist and I get a filling and I see what it's going to cost me, I'm not happy. But it's necessary if I want to have a decent filling, right? Well, if we want decent parks, and we've sacrificed for so long this really... Even though I know it's not desirable, this whole group agonized. You were here over, you know, that. But we recognized that it was a matter of, yeah, we should have done this a while ago so it wouldn't look so big now. But we're just going to end up being in a mess again if we drag this out. You know what I mean?
Well, I think just to give you some background, and just that we were combined with City of Vancouver Parks. And what was it, 2004, or it was 2007, the parks had recommended a fee increase, and they decided, they decided not to increase it. And then they came back, I think it was a year or two later, and recommended an increase again, but we were in the middle of a recession.
Yeah.
And then after that, you recall, I think 2010, 2011, you had the Blue Ribbon Commission, and they were looking at financing for parks. And that nothing happened there. And then you go to, what is it, 2014, 2013, that's when there was the split. So, I mean, a lot has happened over that time.
Yeah, and that's the whole... You're right, Lori. And that's why I'm disconcerted now. I'm disconcerted and frustrated.
I think it's a matter of the wording, the way you're wording this thing to them. I was there for the meeting, the workshop meeting you had, and I felt like it sounded like this was a huge, you were talking 80%, 100%, and it, every time you said 100%, it just sounded like a big, huge number. Instead of using the word 100%, let's use a different way of saying that, that shows cost of living or the amount that this thing is changing as opposed to 100%. I mean, 100% sounds like we're a Cadillac and we're buying this big thing. We're not. It's a very small thing in the bigger scheme of things. And we're selling it as if we're getting the Cadillac. We're not. And that's the problem I think it is. It's a matter of wording and selling this to the commissioners.
So I'm kind of confused procedurally on how we've got two counselors not participating in this discussion at all.
Correct.
We've got three participating and only one isn't comfortable with the increase. So to me, if we're going by why aren't the other two being the majority in the situation? Why
they will probably be voting on the countywide comp plan, and so all five will be voting.
Yes,
but two are not. Haven't been participating in sessions, and but they will be voting, and we can't tell which way they're going to vote.
But how do we just keep this as stat? So why are we, if we have the only three are participating and talking about the PIF increases? Why are we bending to the will of one out of three?
We're not. Well, The other two, by choice, are not participating a lot of times in any of the anything but consent.
Yes.
In the particular meetings, they one-on-ones have stopped basically a few months ago. They don't participate necessarily all the time in work sessions. So,
who's the third one? Who's the one that's?
Councilor Olson is the one that's
Olson,
on the fence.
And she's the new one, so she's going to have that background. So when she hears 100%. Or
well,
something
that's in the context of the park impact fee increase is 162%, and the implementation is 80% the first year of that 162%. And so, I mean, that's just a percentage. I mean, we could say fully funded in the third year, but it still comes down to percentage.
Fully funded to me means nothing. I mean, you got to have the context of it to understand what fully funded means.
Mm-hmm. Well, the attempts will be fully funded.
We'll never be fully funded. So
in the third year, it'll be up to, you know, where it's supposed to be in the market.
But we're using too short of language to get it across to her what it's really happening. When she just talked about how many times how many times this has come through and been rejected with her not being on the board. So in my mind, we need to educate her more, try to get her to the other side. And I don't know.
Well, and if only one out of five is asking for this change, I don't understand why we're...
Well, the other two are, really.
Well, yes. They're not participating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not, if they're not verbally or in writing...
Yeah, but there is a responsibility to respond.
I'm not.
I know how they'll vote too, Kelly, but if they're not actively...
Originally, when we went into this, we thought there was going to be two that were not in favor because of the response that they had when we told them about this increase. So there's actually two of the three that... we thought were on the fence.
Uh-huh.
We got into a work session, that one person was really, really surprised. I guess they didn't even realize that they voted to approve this as a part of the comp plan package. And to their defense, during these sessions, it was kind of like the last thing that was brought up at the very long evenings. It was brought up after the TIFs and the SIFs and everything else with the comp plan. So this is like the last thing on the docket. And so it could have easily been missed.
Yeah.
But I think that they were under the impression that they were afforded the ability to change that at some point in the future. And then it became painfully obvious that they were not, that they could have.
Yeah. I remember Velke saying in that meeting that you guys can have all the plans you want, but if you don't have the money, you don't have anything. And so basically, that's the attitude he's taking.
The way I see it, your swing vote's asking for more information.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think.
Give her the more information.
I agree.
My point.
You have a chance of changing her mind.
Yeah. And so that's what we're providing her, is the information. Yeah.
But my advice to you is to let's refocus it so that it doesn't look so gigantic. Because it isn't. It is not that
well,
much.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, our defense...
If you believe it's too much, then let's back off of it. But I don't believe you do.
No, obviously, I said as the parks manager, I want this to go through, you know, obviously. But, you know, if it's going to be... I don't know. I guess going into that, I thought maybe the councilors were thinking that this could potentially be political suicide because of this increase. But in the grand scheme of things, it is a small amount of money. And we have to be competitive in the market because we are competing with everybody else who's out there trying to buy properties to build on. And so if we want to maintain our level of service, not maintain it,
we
actually
don't even
bring
maintain it
up.
It's less than what it's going to take.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
by getting the package as it's planned.
Right.
Can we maybe hear from this quarter over here? Because it's sounding to me, Bill, a lot like your advisory board might be saying to you that if they value what we say, we're uncomfortable with anything less than what we've recommended. Is it?
I guess my approach is, I think Bill hit on it a little bit. These commissioners do not want to be tagged as, you know, raise taxes or raise any kind of fees. But our goal is to have those fees increased. And so we probably need to play a little bit, get more information to the commissioner that wants to hear from us. And I agree with Kelly, we could probably word it a little differently or oriented the information a little differently to kind of lessen the perception that, you know, this is a big increase. I don't know if you compare it against the overall budget, maybe say this is an increase of X percentage against the overall budget or what it takes. But and not knowing the commissioners very well, I can't tell you what language we have to put it in to make it suitable for them. And I realize it's time consuming and it costs Parks money, but I don't think we want to lose sight of the fact that we need the increase to function.
And that's our intent, is to try to keep it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we just need to kind of keep going one step at a time with the end goal in mind, and I think everybody's got some good input. And I'd be glad to, you know, do whatever we can or whatever I can to talk, but I don't want to, you know, some of these commissioners are lame ducks and they, you know, their votes are, you know, they could cast their votes how they see fit and scuttle the whole effort, unfortunately. And it's, I guess, a double-edged sword that whoever the attorney was could figure out to bring this separated from the overall comp plan. We're just going to have to live with that decision or that interpretation, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But again, I my wife is in sales and she says it's all in the packaging. It's all in how you package it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we're all kind of saying.
What percent of the cost of a home was it back then?
Yeah.
And what percent of the cost of a home is it now?
There's lots of ways to make comparisons. I just don't not knowing the commissioners, I don't know what we have to compare it to get their comprehension and understanding of it. And I wish I knew them better or knew how to put that together better, but I'd be glad to try to figure it out.
One other point I guess I would make on that is if you go back to when we started the process, we reduced that number considerably. So if you take percentage of what we proposed originally and what we really finally landed on, and you take that percentage, it's probably 80% of that, or maybe it's even less, when we first proposed the number.
The original proposal included the city of Vancouver, the incorporated area, which doesn't have a lot of relevance because it doesn't affect us.
Right.
So we separated the PIFs 1 through 4 out, and then that's what brought our numbers down to...
Well, let me just use an example of what I'm talking about. When we were doing the parks bond levy, we came in with a number of 43 cents to do what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through all the process of going through the commissioners and the city council, that number dropped to 37, and then it dropped to 27, and it ultimately came out at 21. So do you talk about getting 100%, was it 47, or is it at the one that we finally landed on, which was much reduced from what we originally said we needed?
But we've got to be careful with that approach, and I understand what you're saying, but one of the things these commissioners may want is to be able to turn around and tell their constituents, hey, they came in with 43 cents or whatever it was, and I got them down to 35. I'm not sure that's what we want. And so if we go in and say we were at this, and we purposely brought ourselves, we negotiate with ourselves and knock it down to this, then the commissioners are going to come in and say, oh, well, we wanted you to knock it down to this. So I don't, that's a great point, but I think we need to
be in
it.
My point is the two that are supporting this thing, the two that we say are supporting it, were in office when we were doing that.
Yeah.
The new one wasn't in office, so she is only starting with the number that
she's seen, the first number she's seen, and so that's fine.
History.
The problem is, I almost guarantee you, being political animals, they want to say, hey, we knocked them down to this and got them down to here, and, you know, you can thank me later. But they
don't want to be known as cutting parks. They want to be advocates.
Well, yeah, yeah. But
so they're not going to say
point.
That.
It's a good point.
And because we're only talking about one commissioner, it's worth our time to really work that one.
Well, but you can't focus on the one commissioner and alienate the
four. No, you can't.
Right. I mean, you know, we need to be a little careful with that.
We have to be careful, but we're always careful. I mean, I think these guys have.
No, they're great at it. Yeah, no. I'm kind of on the outside looking in. I don't want to be a sideline quarterback or anything else here, you know, or Monday morning quarterback. So we need to be a little careful when we go in there and start saying, oh, well, you know, we started here and got to here. Because you're negotiating with yourself, and then they'll go, well, if you drop from there to there, you could drop some more then, couldn't you?
Right.
And it's like, ooh, well, no, we're down to the bottom line here as far as we are concerned. One of the things is, did you look at Vancouver, City of Vancouver? Have they raised their PIF fees?
No.
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 I actually talked with Chris yesterday, had coffee with him.
Okay.
And they're holding off on theirs because of this big waterfront thing that's going on.
Well, but have they raised it during this period of time?
Well, and let me tell you.
I know we were part of it.
Here's kind of the mindset there. The only thing they have in their area is infill.
Right.
There is very little building going on.
Right.
So that is not a large revenue stream for them.
Okay.
And in fact, his problem is that they have so little PIF coming in that you have, you know, $1,000 sitting there that you're coming into concurrency on, and yet $1,000 won't buy you nothing.
Right.
So that's the issue that venue. So it's apples and oranges.
Yeah, you can't
compare.
Okay, well, I just was trying to get you some.
So
kind of
Dave,
comparison.
Anything to add to this?
My name is Dave Weston, and I did not participate in the vote on that motion. Just to be clear, I think we're kind of missing the point with all the percentage and everything. The fact is, they're going to look at what it is today. They're going to look at what has been proposed. They're going to be able to do the math no matter how you spin it. I think that the funding is important, and if, you know, one counselor is asking for four more different models to see how she's going to play her vote, then that's great, and I just give her what she wants.
Actually, each of the three counselors proposed a would-be percentage split, but they also said that they'd like to see it remain the same.
So I think you have heard what your advisory board feels.
Yes, I think so. And what I will do, as soon as I get those results, I will send this out electronically to the advisory board and let you know what this looks like, you know, what these models look like and how it affects the capital facilities plan.
Sure.
And then we'll present it out to the board, or we'll give it to them and let them chew on it.
And we understand the position there, but this is so important to Parks that it sounds like we're only asking for what we really need.
Well, and also, if we could give in is probably not the right word. If we could work to where we could understand, if they want to implement it slower, as long as we get the entire amount agreed to, I don't think that's too much of a, let me put it this way. We might have lost the battle, but I think we won the war. If we can get the whole amount done. Wow. But the problem is, and you know, there's a big difference in somebody's mind if you say, first year you're going to implement 60%, or the first year you're going to implement 20 or 25. Because if you look at the four models that you said, I think three of them are 20, 25 the first year, or, you know, some of that effect. The other one is 60. I don't think that's going to be a hard sell. I think
it's 20, 25, 50, and 60.
First year.
50, I got real heartburn with these low number ones because my major concern is, then we end up 5 years from now without a PIF increase for 5 years, and we're right back where we started.
No, I understand, but I think I was understanding that it was a 25% increase each year for four, or 20% for five, so we still get the entire increase.
Sure, I get that.
And we can still turn around and a couple years later, you know, down the road, start working on the next increase.
Haven't they written it into the increases now?
Yeah, we need to.
What was passed with the code, which changed recently, is that it's going to be so traffic impact fees increase annually with inflation. So now PIF will do that as well. So whatever the inflation index is with construction, that will be the number. What I'm working on is when we start doing that, but it's not going to be that amount because we haven't had an increase since 2003. And I think with the models that Steve Dew is going to run, we have to look at the other parts of this equation, is that you have the capital facilities plan. Is that impacted by a slower rollout? Another thing the board could do is change our level of service. That's another consideration. I just want to throw that out there.
Good discussion.
Okay, so more to come. You'll see something coming from me this next week.
So the side that Steve's doing, will there be some implications to each of those four?
Essentially, how it affects the capital facilities plan, yeah. You know, our viability of properties and development. And so.
And will that include, like, a projection of what the land values are going to do in the next 5 years?
He asked to recently.
Take a loss factor with the, I mean, buying power now versus buying power 5 years from now.
Right.
Into effect with those numbers?
In depth, he may, but it's a quick turnaround.
Well, I would want to see that because that's part of the equation in my mind.
Well,
we can buy land for 5 years from now and how much money we're going to have to deal with that.
Well, we talked to them when we were on our one-on-ones with the counselors. We obviously are saying land is becoming very scarce in a lot of the PIF districts, and it's getting more expensive all the time. We have to remain competitive at the time that we need to buy these properties to get them, and so that's a big argument there. You know, if we're going to even try to achieve the 6 acres per thousand, we need to be competitive in order just to get that. I mean, the national average is 10 acres per thousand. We're at 6. We have been for many years. And so our purchasing power is diminished right now.
Well, we're not at 6.
Years.
That's our goal. So.
I know that the city of Vancouver made 38 proposals for bought purchasing land and got 0. So they're already out of the market to even buy land. So.
Right. And I just think economically, this is the best time to ask for something like this. I mean, that's why I didn't in 2008. You backed off. And so I think their house is being built all over Clark County right now.
Yeah, demand is super high right now.
Yeah.
It's a great time. And I know that the developers are making money. So it's a good time.
Those houses are going to be people.
Yeah.
Those people are going to want to park.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And it's our parks to sell their properties, darn it. Whipple Creek Naming Trails, Bill, on deck.
Actually.
Oh, Karen snuck in. Hi, Karen.
So we have a pretty active group of volunteers out at Whipple Creek Park. I'm sure many of you know. There's kind of two different types of trails out there. We've got gravel trails, which is what the volunteers have been working on the past 5 years now, to gravel those, make them more accessible. But we also have a series of more considered user-made trails. They're not gravel to their natural surface, but many of them are unnamed. And we've been trying to come up with a better map, and you know, naming trails is important for a number of reasons. It helps people know where they are, and it's just a way to talk about the trail system as well. So we have Jay Small here. He has been working with a couple of other volunteers, Michael Lentz, and I'm not sure who they're working with you.
Mostly Michael Lansing, Christine Kalula.
So they've been working on coming up with some trail names for the unmarked trails at Whipple Creek Park. And I will turn it over to Jay and let him kind of tell you about the history of the names and how they came up with each of the names. And just want to get your support on those names.
Yeah, right. So, again, my name is Jay Small. And we give most of our credit for this work to Michael Lentz, who wanted to be here via another engagement. But he and I both are trail advocacy. We're mountain bikers, and we discovered the trails about 2 years ago. And and Michael particularly took an interest in the ungraveled trails and the fact that the signage that's in the park doesn't identify these trails either on any kind of map or any kind of naming system. So just as a work of advocacy, he began working on the project to get names that had significance, either some sort of geographical significance to the park itself or some history. There's a great deal of history associated with the park, and so some of the names were inspired by those bits of history. So, and those are outlined in the verbiage that goes with the map. So that's what's up for discussion or ratification. We just want to be able to make signage in the park to reflect the existence of these other trails.
And you've spoken, you met with the Fairgrounds Neighborhood Association, correct?
Right. I attended the latest community board meeting for that area. That includes this park. They ratified the names as they are now. So
And the plan is to have Jay meet with the North Salmon Creek Neighborhood Association as well to, since it is in their jurisdiction, as well to talk with them about the names that we want to talk with you guys too.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost anything.
Is it connecting up with Bridget as well for Fairgrounds? Because it's two neighborhoods that surround it.
I believe you've already met with Fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds,
yeah.
I've talked with.
Yeah.
Right. They were a little mystified as to why they needed approval, but I had to tell them, well, the park's in your district here, so, and many didn't even know about the park. I mean, some people did not know about the park. I lived here 6 years, didn't know about the park, and it's a mile from my house, so it's...
You must live near me, and I said the same thing at their meeting. I said, because I'm in the North Salmon Creek Neighborhood Association, okay. And Whipple Creek Park, yeah, I lived there 5 or 6 years before I discovered the entrance there on 21st.
Yeah, there's no billboards anywhere. There's not much to tell
you
there.
I do think that's intentional.
I think it probably is.
Won't be for long. The sign's going up.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's where we are.
So the purple trails are already named, essentially. These are the non-gravel surfaces. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All the ones.
Orange ones.
All the ones are orange.
The orange ones are named.
No.
The orange ones are, yeah.
Well, that's what they're asking for, is to approve the naming.
Oh, I had that reversed in my mind.
Right.
Okay.
I think some of them actually are legacy. In the list, they're noted legacy. But that may be legacy to, I don't know if it's legacy to the official name in the park. I'm noticing some that are orange, but they're...
Like Cedar Loop and...
Yeah.
They're not orange. I think, so Cedar Loop has been named, and that's been in existence for a while. The ones that we want to focus on are the trails in orange, and those names there. And Raspberry Lane has been there as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone has any questions on the names or...
No, I love the tongue-in-cheek on some of these.
Yeah, with some good names, that's for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of history in that park,
are,
and I think
they're
really trying
to
show that. It'd be great to do some interpretive signage someday there as well.
What about, and this is a topic of broaden the topic a little bit, but naming rights. Is that a funding possibility for this property?
Probably not for this site.
Why not?
The kind of usership that's out there. Naming rights is great for sports complexes like this. We can name fields and all that.
Trails are... We name trails all the time for various people.
Yeah.
I would think we're always looking for money, and it seems like...
I think that's a great idea.
I think something more urbanized might be... That's a great idea. Something that's more urbanized. This is kind of a rural setting, and I don't know if
pretty
people
rural.
Would be want to pay to have a name in there. I don't know who...
Well, I don't think the name comes up until somebody offers, but I know that we're always hurting for money, and that's one of the opportunities and ways we've got money in the past for various things.
We've also
named for honoring people, which has helped too. I mean, sometimes giving somebody,
for instance.
Yeah, for instance.
In the discussions that when we were selecting names, there were names that came up that, because we have several that are named after people that were involved in this park or just live in the land or whatever. And so there's this test of, well, is it have any kind of meaning to the park? And if it didn't, it got kind of axed because, well, that sounds kind of commercialized. And so we kind of wanted to avoid that and preserve this sort of a historical theme to the park itself. Yeah. So just an expression of what was driving some of the name conventions that we were using.
Well, I do know there was somebody that gave quite a bit of money to allow some of the development of this park. I can't remember his name right now, but it was 10, 20, 15, 20 years ago. And I don't recall his name right off.
Maybe from the Custer family.
No.
I'm pretty sure one of them has to do with people who did donate the land, and I'm not up on which one it was. We try to look for those kind of links to the naming conventions themselves.
Is it Hillburn?
That's the stone mill. It was built by Jay Hillburn.
But wasn't there an estate left with some money in it? Or?
Christine Google has that information.
Yeah.
There was the Lander home.
Anyway, I want to make sure we're not stepping over the top of something.
So, Karen, are you looking for Pab to approve this?
Approve
the names as proposed?
Yep, that's what we're looking for.
Okay. Motion from the floor on that.
I'll move that we approve the naming of the trails as presented in the proposal, the Whipple Creek Park Trail naming proposal.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the proposed names as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I oppose.
Okay, one opposed. Motion carries.
And just so you know, Karen's been working on getting the wayfinding sign on 179th Street that actually says that the park is coming up and uh-huh. where to turn. Are we doing that on South Street first as well?
We're not yet. That entrance, we don't have parking.
We don't really have parking there. The 21st Avenue on the north side of 179th Street is our primary parking lot there. So there's going to be a sign.
Dirt area is your primary parking lot?
Off of 179th?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said 21st. I say you
just early. South 21st, coming up from the south side of the park. There's that riding arena there. There's only enough space for like 2 to 3 cars.
That's what I was going to say. Better not be the primary one.
No, it's not. And so I'm not sure if we really want to direct people there.
It could
cause traffic congestion issues. Yeah.
How big is the sign?
How big are those?
It'll probably be at least 18 by 24. So it's going to be, I think, your typical recreation sign. Brown with white lines.
Oh, that's universal.
I think that discussion is coming up real quick here, isn't it?
It is.
Hmm.
Good.
So,
great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jay. Thank you. And thanks for all your work, Jay.
It's a great place if you don't know about it. Does anybody not know about it?
I can see. It's all.
So is it mountain biking and equestrian and
primarily,
yeah.
Yeah, it's
high school
for
cross country meets.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a huge group of volunteers
that maintain
that.
Yeah.
The Whipple Creek Restoration.
I knew of it. I just didn't know it was that close to my house, and now I'm embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't be. There's wondrous places all about us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
So, John asked us to put this on the agenda because we will be, of course, electing. Officers in December, and of course there's a chair, co-chair, and secretary positions that are always open each year. But he wanted the group to know ahead of time that with his work on the port, that he finds that he's going to need to step back and will not be pursuing re-upping for next year. So everybody should balance that into their minds. Because you can either be nominated or self-nominate for one of those positions. Since we won't be meeting in November, we wanted to bring it up today.
Is he stepping away as a co-chair?
No, he's stepping away as a co-chair. He will continue on PAB. Yeah, it's been very, very demanding, his job at the port. And so, and he does a lot of park stuff there. So, still adding extra value, just not in the co-chair seat. Parks wayfinding.
So this was actually John's request. He's going to talk about this, but in the port of Camas, Washougal, this is the picture you're seeing here. He wanted us to, he was asking what we have for wayfinding signs, if you will. And so there's a couple of examples here. And one is of the Ellen Davis Trail. We also have one of Frenchman's Bar and the Vancouver Lake Trail. Same signs. Back when we were the city, we were using the same modeling. And so basically all of our trails in this region of the county has these signs out there that depict our trails. So if you go to Vancouver Lake Fisherman's Park, you'll see this. And so he was looking for something that he could implement in the city of Washougal and the Board of Canvas Washougal. And if you haven't seen that new park that they built down there, it is beautiful. It is. We were just down there for a gym meeting at the port office. And this new waterfront park, they call it, it's got access down to the harbor, and it's also got it's a trail extension that goes over the Steamboat Landing. So it's got a shelter, restroom, beautiful facility. I was really impressed, but they're coming up with a sign scheme, or they're trying to come up with some ideas that they can use around the city. And so this is what. We provided them, you know, that's what the city of Vancouver and Clark County are using for wayfinding. So hopefully they'll try to maybe mimic what we've got going on already. So it's actually his story, but he couldn't be here today.
And it's good for us to know anyway, because now we know the standards that we're using.
It's nice. It tells you where you're at. You know, it tells you the name of the trail that you're on, and it also presents the park rules, which is great.
This is actually a good example of what next week's meeting's about, too, working together on all the different agencies. That was one of the sad things about pulling the park system apart. We were able to do a lot of sign work and things, design, save a lot of money in the fact that we were all one. And now we're struggling to keep everything going and paying consultants separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ending up with a patchwork of mismatch. Yeah.
So I appreciate bringing this forward.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts I had on these wave signs is maybe it's time that we start acknowledging neighborhood associations in the way signs. You know, I was just thinking this map here, if this area, because we know is a one neighborhood association, I think it's Fairgrounds Neighborhood Association.
Fairgrounds and North Salmon Creek.
It might behoove us to at least at the bottom and the top put those neighborhoods into it.
And I think that's
maybe that would give
idea.
Them more exposure than, because they're always struggling to be recognized as a
and notified
help.
Yeah, I think that's a marvelous idea.
That's great. I can see if Jeff Myers can actually add that to what we've got online already.
Yeah. Farewell letter to Jean Akers, the deserter.
She left Clark County for her grandkids.
I know the audacity of that woman.
Sure, Steve Newfield's a finch also. But they're leaving.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I thought she was expanding his business there.
She is, but you know, all the current work that's going on around here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so yeah, yeah.
She said she's going to carry the name Conservation Technics back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Huh. Your turn, Bill.
My turn, huh?
Yeah, got your name next to that.
Oh, okay. Well, we do have, we've got this meeting coming up, the ALPAB meeting coming up next Thursday. And the following PAB meeting falls on a holiday. So we thought that we should just cancel the meeting and just take a break. And then we'll resume again in December. And so I just want to see if everybody's good with that. And if we need to have a special meeting, if something does matriculate from the PIF fees, and we need to call meeting together, maybe we can do that.
Quickly, if you need it in writing. Yeah, if you need a formal motion on our position.
And there again, I'm not quite sure how this is going to roll out. I think what's most important is I don't know if we're going to be able to resupport or anything like that, but I think what's going to be important is we have a showing at the I think is it December meeting or is it November 1st meeting?
Well, depending on the timing, there'll be a planning commission work session and hearing probably in November. If they are serious about changing the implementation of the new PIF rates, they would have to adopt the new rates schedule at the same time they adopt the budget, which I believe is December 6th. It's the first Tuesday in December. So we're talking about a very quick time frame.
So as these meetings come up, we would know of them, because yes. they're not on here, of course.
We will tell you, definitely.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we'll know more because, next week, maybe, or yes. a week after.
Is there any yes. chance you'd consider just changing the date of the November meeting? Because we really typically don't meet in December, and that means January. And I won't be here in December,
you'll
anyway,
be here
nor
December.
January. But I will be Skyping if it's available.
Could we have a hybrid of both months, maybe the first or second week in December? Have a November-December
meeting. Yeah, the first week in December, maybe
I'm
have
gone.
A...
You know, it's not
oh, you're gone? I thought you were not leaving.
I leave the first of December.
We could do a combination meeting, because if we did it
yeah,
late November...
Well, we got Thanksgiving.
That might put us in a position to inform you of the pending meeting that's coming at the board level.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Friday after Thanksgiving is the 2nd of December, and you're, Kelly, you're leaving...
The 1st is...
1?
Yeah,
1st.
Maybe the 18th?
We don't want you to cancel another trip here, Kelly.
Yeah. yeah. Well, maybe we could go mid-November, because, you know, looking at it, because we've got Thanksgiving the week of the 24th. Would you be on deck for revising it to be the 18th, which is a week later than we normally have our...
That's what I was...
Our November PAB meeting? And then we promise not to fill it too full, but we do have some things that we need to make sure that, I mean, this PIF is critical to us. So, can we tentatively say...
What about Tuesday the 29th?
29th of November?
Mm-hmm.
Will I be recovered from Thanksgiving?
Tuesday.
You might have to pick me up and carry me on that day, but I can do it. You want to try a Tuesday instead of our Fridays?
Friday or Thursday falls on the 1st.
Early in the week is sometimes yeah. tough. Cause
yeah.
we might
so,
be.
Yeah, the 18th or the 29th, either one. Let's agree on a date.
I say the 18th.
I'm good either one.
For me, it's the best.
18.
Me too.
18th's much more likely than a Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm fine with the 18th.
Okay, so we will tentatively do the 18th. You got that one? Okay. That'll be a November-December combo meeting. Sounds like we made a decision to do our typical December mess. All right. And then were you doing a farewell letter to Jean that you wanted us to sign, or do we want to get a card? And speaking of that, did you all hear about Marcia Keene? Our previous member, she
yes,
fell and got a brain bleed and has been quite...
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
I didn't hear that.
But the good news is that she's recovering well. She's heading home on Saturday, they say, at this time. But I meant to bring a card, and I ran out and left it sitting on the table. So I'll send a card signing all of our names to her. But if you want to send her a personal note, you might. So back to Jean.
Okay.
It says here, farewell letter to Jean.
I was going to better send a card to Marcia, you know, that we all signed. But
yeah, that's what I was just saying. I had one. I sat it down on the table and I left it there when I ran off this morning. So I was just saying I'll send one and sign all your pals or something. Right. Or thinking of you. But did you have something specific on the farewell letter to Jean?
Just to thank her for all of the...
Yeah, yeah. Do you want us to write a letter? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Unless you want me to write it. I mean,
No, I can, but, I can
I think
do it.
I thank you from Pat for all the great things that she's done, you know,
sure.
With the pros plan.
Is that acceptable to everybody? Or does somebody want to volunteer to do that? Okay, I'll do it. Me to do a letter. Me a letter. Okay, cancel. Okay, back to you, Bill. Miscellaneous updates.
We can sign that letter at the meeting next week.
Yes, and we can sign it at the meeting next. Well, yeah, there'll be a bunch of us there, but not everybody. A bunch of us will
be
there.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah. God, you're saying I got to get it done before the interview.
Okay.
Jeez. Cut a girl a break.
Okay, real quickly. Sorensen Tower Festival, Parks. Construction going well. Of course, the weather is hindering this weekend, especially is not good. But a lot of rain coming down, and so we're hoping that it doesn't wash out the
the seeding that's been done to Sorensen and create massive trenches out there. But it was overseeded 2 weeks ago, something like that. And so hopefully we're just trying to get some germination out there, and it's going to be having enough holding power. Dedication.
Was it hydroseeded or?
It was hydroseeded.
It looks pretty. Uh-huh. Sure.
What's that?
It looked pretty seeded.
Wow. You'll know after Saturday.
Yeah.
You'll know after Saturday. Yeah. We've seen some pretty nasty washouts on new construction after they're just freshly put in. It's like sad.
Yeah.
Milata has said that I think our dedication's on December 3rd at 1:30, and so out there on site. So that's going to be a great event. And
then, of course, the food will be at the back door at the Milata Village. It had to do the same thing with the Raspberry Field Forest and with the other park. But because it's probably very cold, very rainy, we didn't want to set up all those canopies out there and then put out the food out there.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be a split, but there will be information on that forthcoming as soon as we prepare the flyer this Friday, and I will give it to you for
yes, thank you. That'd be great. Okay, that sounds good. All right, so we'll start getting the announcements out. Jeff Miles will probably do a press release and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Probably, early to mid-November, that kind of thing, so people are aware. And so that's coming. And then I did just get a call from Sue Lentz. Of course, Tower Crest we're worried about because that hasn't even seeded yet. And of course, well,
maybe that's
weather.
A blessing. Maybe that's a blessing.
Yeah, maybe. The whole park is laying on the street right now.
Yeah.
But she did lock in a date, and I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken, but I will confirm this, it's May 8th, something like that. But it's they're going to hold out until spring, given that that park is won't be done until mid-December. And so a springtime dedication would be preferred. And so they're going to have a big potluck kind of a thing going on, which is kind of cool. So with Linda McGuire and Sue. So we're happy to host that one too. We contracted with DNR to help us with brush clearing and demolition at the newly acquired parks, and they've been doing a great job. Over here at West Minnehaha, they went through and basically took out all the understory brush of the places, just loaded with blackberries, and you can actually see from front to back of the park. And then Jeremy just had survey done on it yesterday.
It's still going on.
And then of course fencing is next. And then we've got a company coming in to basically tough grind all the debris that was taken down, probably 500 to 700 yards, plus stump removal.
Plus stump removal too?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of little stumps about even bigger around all over the place of cherry. And so that DNR crew, we're gonna have them until we got a $50,000 contract with them. They're just gonna go through and we're gonna send them over to Curtis Springs. And they're going to clean that site up, and then out to Prairie Fields, clean that site up. So we'll probably burn $50,000 up pretty quickly. But PIF acquisition is paying for this for site level one cleanup. So we used to have the DNR crews many years ago until the big recession where we lost all of our contracts and had to buckle down. So it's good to get that relationship reestablished, and that is a inmate crew that comes from Larch Mountain Honor Camp, 10 guys with chainsaws, and they bust all day long. It's amazing. So with PIF 5, Jeremy and I, we got a option agreement signed on a piece of property, and that's the Austin Heritage piece that we've talked about in the past. I think I showed it to you in the map. It's 99th Street east of East Ridge Business Park and about 134th Street. So,
can you bring that up on the screen?
Sure. Yeah. And it's north of 99th Street, like a little ways. It's back into an area that's going to be completely built out.
Thinking all up.
So 503, that's the highway that leads out to Louisville from Orchards.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to 99th Street, take a right, it's East Ridge Business Park.
The Albertsons that used to be on Patton there. That front, where Albertson's on Patton was.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just follow it north, it dead ends at the park. Mm-hmm. Well, at the property, it parks on the north side.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's actually a portion of this parcel This one, let's see, I think this is one of the four. Oh, actually, it's just a portion of this parcel.
Right here. Yeah.
So,
here's
99.
This is 503 right here?
Yep.
Okay.
Or wait, no, but 503 is more than
So this is your highway three, or the 117th, which is the highway that leads from Orchards to Battleground. And so the parcel is going to be right in here.
Okay.
So we have a park over here.
What's going on with the rest of the land of that park?
That's all being developed.
PUD.
So it's going to look like this.
Yeah. And we're getting 5 acres? Is that what you said?
Six acres. It's a 6-acre purchase.
And so, the flat has a flat part of it too. That's surprising.
It's flat.
Yeah, that's surprising. Usually the only one.
There's a little bit of wetland, right? And you can see some wetness here, but I think there's a little bit right here.
There's a lot of it.
It's largely, exactly.
It's going to end up being like
this area here.
Chinook, huh? We get in there and find out there's not even enough room for a playground.
Look at how those houses are packed in there on all sides of them.
So well, they need a park, don't they?
Oh, they do.
They need a park there.
Think what that's going to look like 5 years from now.
So what's taken us a while to acquire this piece is that there was an arterial alignment that was supposed to have gone through, like this, to 134th from 137th and connect up into here. And then there's also a connector road that bisected the property that we're looking at. And so the county agreed to work with the developer on relocating that road to the north. So,
to the north?
Yeah. So
here.
I thought it'd be a better alignment because it's that future connected road supposed to has a better connection over this way. I don't know the details of that, but
yeah.
We didn't want to buy two pieces, you know, on either side of a road. That didn't make a lot of sense. And so that's what we're looking at. And so with the option agreement, we have the appraisal ordered. And after that, we'll negotiate with the developer. We'll do a site analysis, environmental site analysis, and if everything looks good, we'll do a purchase and sale agreement and present that to the board for purchase. And that will be our last concurrency piece.
Will there be any in-kind part of that that comes from the developer, or is it totally just a purchase and no?
Straight-up purchase. Basically, and he's going to set the amount that, you know, he's what he's looking for. If it exceeds that, he'll probably stick to the amount that he told us to. If it comes in less or what the appraisal comes in, that's what we're going to negotiate to, is what the appraisal amount comes in at.
So since he's not coming up with any kind of goodies, let's don't name it after him.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's essentially our policy.
Now, wasn't this the builder that said he put the road along the edge there, though?
What's that?
Was this the builder that said they build out the road along the side of it for us?
Yeah, so we've got access in from this. This is access right here. The street head ends. So does this one. So here's two access points right here. And then once this arterial goes in, we'll have that walkway that comes along here. So it's
when you get those actual boundaries, could you share those with us? The actual property boundaries when you get them?
Yeah.
Can you share those with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You expect them to say no, I'm keeping it a secret.
No. Sometimes we don't see them.
Well, one thing that's...
I know.
What scares me on this acquisition is if it falls, we're losing money. We'll have to...
We'll have to give it back. We can't have this not happen.
Well, this is a perfect example of why we need parks. That's all going to be wall-to-wall houses.
Absolutely. All that property around it has been spoken for, and so it's getting harder to find property out there. It really is. That's actually usable. So there's a lot of properties out there, but you can't do anything with them because they're in a valley or there's a creek that runs right to the middle of them, you know, and with the regulations and setbacks, it's not worth it. And plus, you're still paying top dollar for it. So it's hard to find really good, usable land.
Well, you're like, as you mentioned earlier, you're competing with schools and other developers for the same land.
Especially this time. And, you know, and more often than not, anything that's urbanized has already been plotted out into house lots, and that makes it much more expensive to buy. And so...
Well, you can see all the lands around it that are all plotted out. There. You can see up in the north there, it's plotted out. And
exactly.
Over here in the...
Yeah.
And
then that's the... UGB right there, too.
Yeah.
So.
They may not be building, but they're plotted.
So, if we're to try to buy something like this right here, this piece right here, we're paying per lot
on that.
Per lot.
Per lot. And,
$50,000 or better.
We in PIF 9, we had to walk away from a property because it was a per lot fee, and it was 5 acres, and it was $2.4 million.
On the impact fees, we have to buy urban properties, though, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. See, and that's the hard part, because you could get a much better deal if you buy just when north of that subdivision where it's rural stuff.
Right. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
But you can't.
Right. We got lucky with Prairie Fields, because it's still considered, you know, out there, even though it was on the edge of the 5th district, but it was zoned ag. Yeah. So we got a good deal on it.
It's kind of broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive change. You understand that stuff. Drive change, Dave. We'll get behind you. You just got to be the engine.
Thanks for sharing those notes.
Sure. So on a more negative note, I met with the Nehalem Neighborhood Association, and we're trying to acquire a piece of property so we could get a west-southwest connection to our community park, and they denied us. They didn't want a trail through there. It really wouldn't have affected them, but they just, on principle, they just didn't want to do it. So we're going to we'll still keep trying to get a connection point from the west side, because right now you have to drive to that park, and it's only from 172nd Avenue. You can't.
Can you put that map up?
You can't really walk to it. And we have a lot of development going on out there. And so we've got the developers are asking us, hey, can we have a walk-to connection to this park? And
so it's through this.
Yeah. You want to bring it up on? Get them. There you go, thanks. So this piece right here is owned by the Neighborhood Association. This is Nehalem. Okay. And this is a brand new subdivision that's going in. There's another one here, and this is slated to be developed out. They developed their subdivision. This is like a natural green space, uh-huh. And they kind of slated this corner right here as a connection point into our park. But we have to go across private property here or here to get here. And so I put out two proposals to the Nehalem Association. One was sell us 50 feet along here. We'll fence it off with an 8-foot tall fence so people can't go into here at all. Or sell us this corner right here. Just give us a 50 by 50, and so we can come in through here, come across, and then get into our park. And so the benefit to us of going this way was we didn't have to put a bridge crossing in, because we already have a bridge crossing right here. So, or if we just take this corner, we got to put a bridge in over China Ditch to get into our park.
Did you approach them a different direction? And I'm just thinking now of my HOA.
Uh-huh.
And we've got the whole Whipple Creek back behind us.
Right.
We'd love to give it to you, by the way. But we can't. Because we've had several organizations that said, you know, we'll take care of that.
Right.
In our CC&Rs, it says that we cannot sell off the HOA property. So maybe they could give you access without purchasing it.
They don't want to give us access.
Oh, they really don't want?
They want to block.
There's no restrictions on this, but they just don't want to give it to us. They think it's going to be a breach of security, and people are going to come flood them this way.
Oh, people will do that anyway. Right. People are going to do that.
So we're going to talk to these people here and see what they can do for us, because we can still utilize access.
Exactly.
For,
it
is. So, yeah.
Either way, so right now, do you want to scroll to the right just a little bit, Jeremy?
What do you want to look at?
The entrance. Oh. Here's the only way into the park is right here. That's drive-in. So
not good.
We got this huge, huge park. We own this piece, out in all of this. And
but
the only way to get
into
the park is right here. It's a community park.
Ouch.
It should have more access points.
It really should. That subdivision with that corner right there, have you looked at that plat or anything? It was my understanding that their stormwater was questionable.
There's a stormwater facility right here.
Right.
But there's a 10-foot wide access point all the way around it.
Okay. Yeah.
It
was my understanding they had to give up additional lots because the math was fuzzy.
It's pretty wet out there in Hawkinson anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the story.
Well, I guess that property to the northwest would be, is that northwest, I guess?
Right here. That,
if you can work with them, that seems like a...
Jeremy's tried calling them. I don't think we get any answer back. It's a big firm.
So
that's
they,
not
yeah,
local.
Cut through their property.
But obviously, you know...
But it's worth continuing to pursue.
At some point in time, I do see the development plans. I'm sure we'll see this one coming across the desk sometime. That's what we can.
We could maybe in the approval of the development plan. Sometimes you can get that in there.
If I can catch it, you know,
yeah,
and
if
we,
you catch you know, it,
then we can try to get that negotiated.
That's
in.
Why they need more people to help catch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, during the planning phase,
when you send out public notes, Parks Department doesn't get any.
No.
Is that right?
That I don't know. I could find out, though.
I think it'd be beneficial to have them.
I think that's a really good idea.
Comment on it, because there's a lot of stuff that goes around parks, and I don't hear about it because I'm not within that 500 feet, right. And I'm not in that HOA or that neighborhood association.
Yeah,
and they're a service provider.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I feel like parks should be included.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not.
Yeah.
I think it's a great suggestion.
Well, if it was in the comp plan, it would be there, but...
There's an RCW that allows me to go out and buy a lot that we want for future park property. You know, if it's a single lot, we can buy that for our purposes.
Right.
And so I haven't seen an opportunity to do that as of yet, but at some point in time I can exercise that ability.
That's a great suggestion. I'll follow up on it.
I mean, we have to put circulation through all over the place, and to a park makes the most sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes people so upset when they can't get to a park, and alienates our base.
We're trying to promote walking and biking to parks.
Not 2 miles to get to a park that's 200 feet from your house.
You've got all these big families, and you have to load up the whole family in a car to get them into a park instead of just walking over, and that's sad.
Right.
It really is.
Well, and they could come back and complain about people parking on the side of the road in the area.
And they will.
And they will.
Well, that's, you know, that's
I'm thinking of the people over there at Chinook.
And that's why it gets in there and it becomes a condition.
Just to keep people from parking
so,
there.
Anyways, that's so much for the bad news. Let's move on.
Thank you.
It's good news, too.
That you're dealing with those kinds of things. That's what our comp plan's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, I just want to thank Lori and our board members for attending the September 13th work session to discuss the parks budgets, and that was, it was good. I think that we're going to get some good things out of this. The one thing that caught my attention, which I think is a good idea, with the decision packages that are being submitted through the budget process, the one thing that came up was utilizing our Metropolitan Parks levy, the one thing that they talked about was raising that by 1% and using bank capacity. And what that's going to do is it's going to provide us about $630,000 of money for the MPD budget. And this is in lieu of asking for general fund dollars to pull those parks that were in general fund back into general fund. We're not going to do that anymore because general fund can't afford it, first and foremost. And two, it's illegal to keep those parks in the MPD system. So they're gonna be there forevermore. So now, how do we fund those parks? So this is the one thing that the budget office put forward that's gonna go in front of the counselors is to add 1% to the MPD levy, which we've been cruising along at 22 cents per thousand. And that's gonna be 23 cents plus the bank capacity. What that amounts to for each individual that pays the levy amount, it's about $6 a year. It's going to give us about $630,000 the first year and about $820,000 the second year. And we'll effectively solve our issue.
We have legal authority to go to 27.
That's correct.
So
that's what the taxpayers voted on.
Yeah.
That's Mark McCauley was very clear. He said, I'd love to go to the 27 right now. But obviously, you know, we want to, you know, raising taxes is never a good thing.
Right.
But this is a tax increase to the public. So. But it is also a solution to the long problem that's been going on since 2010, and so our MPD budget won't necessarily go negative.
So basically, we're out of the general fund. I mean, all senses. The word for parks.
Say it one more time.
We're basically out of the general fund, pretty much.
Except for administration.
Well, no, you can't take those.
No,
regional parks.
We still have all the big general fund parks in the rural areas.
I know that. I know those, but basically for the urban area,
right?
We're out of the general fund,
exactly. Yes.
Which is
so basically we've
is
got
a, is a philosophical change.
It is. It is
huge.
So we've got the Parks Administration is still general fund, and then we've still got the maintenance that's general fund that supports all the existing general fund parks, if you will, Louisville, Vancouver Lake, Fisherman's Bars, all those. And so I see this as a real win, and especially if it's being supported by the budget office. It didn't come from me, it came from the budget office. I thought, it's cool. And so that's a win for us, I think, if this goes through. Couple things that didn't go through. Oh, well, another three things that didn't go through, which I'm really happy to see, is because of the $20 million deficit to general fund, we had all of us who are general fund based had to go through an exercise of cutting 10% out of our budgets. That's not moving forward, thank God.
Yay.
So that they're going to leave us alone on that.
Just you, or is that all of them?
Just us in parks. So we had parks administration, we had parks maintenance, and we had campus maintenance, all three general fund budgets, and they wiped those off. So we're not going to experience a cut.
10% doesn't sound like a lot until you get down to it and try to find it. Well, yeah, we're anorexic over here already, right?
Parks maintenance was $234,000.
Can't get much thinner.
So we are not going to get the grant writer. We are not going to get the replacement or the project employee that we had that was helping Karen and also Eric with volunteer efforts and our reservations. That project position ended. We're asking for it to go full time because there's a strong need for it. That's not going forward either. So we will be missing those two positions. And I am not going to stop on those. I'm going to hit them again in the spring for the process. And so, depending on what happens at the Blue Ribbon Commission, you know, if we want to start sharing positions, that might be a real win for the future. If we can't, you know, acquire a position for ourselves, maybe we can share that position. So that's just a
fun way to approach it.
But we have to make it known that we're not getting these positions, and we have a comprehensive plan that says we should have these to do the things we're going to move on. Mm-hmm. So that should be hit pretty hard at the meeting next week.
Yes.
I mean, because I don't know we're going to get the enthusiasm without the examples of what we're not doing.
Yeah, but we're also not the only jurisdiction that's suffering from the lack of staffing.
No, I mean, there's a lot of
this is obviously a win where we could look at economies of scale and share resources.
Well, that was what the original partnership was about.
Yeah.
That's kind of the hope to go back to that at some point in the future. I think that would be a win-win. Even if, I mean, not just between, you know, Vancouver and Clark County, but maybe another city, you know, whatever we can do. What else? This one's just kind of an internal thing. With Flume Creek, that there's a piece of property that Pat Lee has bought. It connects to Richfield, south side of Richfield, actually connects to the city. It's along the east side of the railroad tracks, and we are desperately trying to work on gaining access so we can get into the property to do something with it. So right now we're kind of landlocked, and so Jeremy's been working with a group of folks that are on the street to see if we can gain access one way, and then we also have to actually punch in an access point.
Can you put that map up?
So the idea is to get out there to be able to maintain the site and to start doing some planning with the site. So since we're talking about that, Pat Lee is actually looking at a piece of property that's on the west side of the railroad tracks up against Lake River. And we met with Bill Digerts yesterday, and the Columbia Land Trust, so Dan Roy, George Simpson, and met with those guys yesterday and talked about this piece of property that they might take if they give it to us, because it's actually encumbered for mitigation for the 179th Street interchange.
Uh-huh.
Is that 167?
I have to bring it. No, the one thing about JS is you got to bring it so close just to get the street names. Should be it right here. Is this 167 right here?
It's still going.
Pretty close one, friend.
That's
Ellen?
So the old access, or our legal access, is over off of 229th, or 234th. But there's two ravines you got to go through to get to the,
oh, yeah,
the field.
A big old barn right here, and then it's almost impossible to get to this barn from here. But there's a road, if you want to zoom in closer, there's actually a road right here.
So it's on the aerial, but your barn's blocked. I'm sorry.
leave that up and then pull out and just see how important that is in the bigger scheme of things. See, you got Richfield coming at you, you got...
Yep.
It's...
So this is Richfield right here, and so this is a big piece of property that we just acquired, and so we...
And then that's Lake River right on the other side of the track.
This is Lake River, and then Pat is looking at this piece right here. Here's the river tracks, so you can kind of see it right here. Mm-hmm. So it's on the Lake River side of the river tracks. And the person who owns this piece is the one that sold us Flume Creek. And he's offering to give this to us, obviously, because there's a couple things going on. It's slated for mitigation. And mitigation has not occurred yet. It's supposed to have been by now. And so I think he wants to get rid of the headache. If he is willing to actually donate that property to us, we are willing to take it.
Good for you.
There's actually some connection points under, some underpasses here. And there's actually an underpass here into Flume Creek from the side under the river tracks. But it is restricted for mitigation for the next 7 years. I think they're into 3 years of the mitigation, and it has yet to be planted. So at some point in time, right now, public will not be allowed on here. But after that 10-year period, if you will, then we can start looking at connection points to get in here and then in here. So
by then,
obviously,
be
that's
so
our
demanding.
Big intent is to have, you know, connections from the Richfield, which are highly motivated.
How are they getting to the barn?
Right now?
They're not.
This barn right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so what we're working on. Jeremy's working with these property owners. There's a nice street that comes and terminates right here, and it's just an easy drive across the field. But they will not allow us on this road.
So how?
And we don't have. We've never had easement rights to this property from this road.
I guess I asked the wrong question. How were they using the barn? Were they going over culverts or?
They weren't. So a developer bought this property in the 90s from the original owners who had access from out here.
Okay.
Never used that access. It became overgrown.
Oh.
And this barn actually was being. Or the field was being hit by one of these neighbors, but they wouldn't allow the developer to come in here or grant any easement,
right,
because they didn't want more traffic on theirs.
They're very afraid of public
access. I thought
there
was a public law that said you could not parcel out a property without access to it, legal access to it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Here's legal access, it's way over here.
Legal access, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that answers it.
So that's happening. Pat and I are working on another property exchange also, but we don't know, not sure where that's going to go. It's right up off Lakeshore. It's a weird deal. It's a planned use development where the property owner has to give the property over to either the neighborhood association or to the county. And so he wants to deed that to the county, and then he wants to give us a piece of property that's on Vancouver Lake, that's traditionally been Erickson property, and then he wants to trade us this piece for the property that's on Vancouver Lake, and so we would own actually a portion of one property and the entirety of another property. It's kind of bizarre how that works. Right now we don't own either one of them, but through this land swap we'll own one and a half.
Will this be actually dealt with Columbia Land Trust then, or will you this particular property?
This one here? Yeah, we were just meeting. I met with Dan Roy just yesterday.
So it will go through Columbia Land Trust, which
is the
right thing to do.
Yeah, which we try to do everything we can through Columbia Land Trust as much as we can. If we can put it in Columbia Land Trust's name, and then we go for a grant,
right,
they can deed it over to us, and we can use it for a grant match.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I think, is that it? Yeah. I think that's it. I already talked about the field trip, so that's all I've got.
Good job.
Definitely keep you apprised as to what's matriculating us next week as we find out, Lori and I.
Yes.
And so we'll go from there.
Good.
Who was in attendance at your field trip?
We had counselors Olson and Bolt, and then Barbara.
Kelsey,
John,
Dave.
And Jay, and Dave.
Oh, good.
So we had a really good turnout, actually. Yeah. Am I missing anybody?
No.
Oh, we had Pat Lee along. He came along with us.
Okay, good.
And
it was a full band.
We had a full band, yeah.
Good job.
And Bill even fed us. Now, if he warned us ahead of time so we wouldn't have ate our lunch before we came.
Well, somebody mentioned peanut butter sandwiches, so I brought another peanut butter sandwiches.
So, subcommittee reports. I'm happy to announce that Kelsey has agreed to take the lead on our trails subcommittee. So, thank you, Kelsey. So, she might be contacting those of you that showed an interest on your surveys of participating in that group. Chris isn't here, so down that. I've already gave my reports on the partnership marketing aspects. Dave, anything from parks?
No.
Okay. No's good enough at this point. I hope before the end of the year we can get that description. Jay, sports?
I'm in the same situation.
All righty. And standards and training, I'm in the same position. I've got stuff to do and I got no time to spit on that fire.
You can repeat the meeting next week.
There we go. Yeah.
That's training.
Well, you know, that's it. You know, it takes a lot of time. Okay, so let's just roll with the round table. Jeremy, anything for the good of the order?
I don't.
All righty.
Nope.
Temple, you got to talk a second about what you did last week or week before.
What the heck did we do? I really don't know.
Swingmore 24, I think, what was there, about eight grand you got?
It was a busy fall, so trying to remember. We had our annual meeting, and then the week after that we had Givemore 24, Swingmore 24. Made about $8,500 that day, which is great. And it was wonderful to have some county folks come out and swing at Stockford Village Park. And I will also say that that is the inspiration for my end of year fundraising letter. So when you all read that, and hopefully it will inspire you to donate and share it with all of your friends. It's a great park, and it was a great day. We got a lot of good exposure for the parks. And now we're working on our budgeting and end of year fundraising and the really super exciting stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. And what's the mood of the people right now in terms of Parks Foundation and giving?
You know, more enthusiastic in word than in deed, but the verbal enthusiasm is strong and something we've been working on. I've been with the Parks Foundation now coming up on a year and a half, not quite. And one of our goals was to just help bring broader awareness to parks and to all of the opportunities that are out there. And I feel like we are making some great headway on that. And there are just some really fantastic projects happening all over the county. I mean, Stockford Village Park is a great one that got completed last fall. Washougal just completed the first phase of their awesome bike skills course. And helping draw some awareness to those and the fact that, yeah, those are resources that we have and you can help make them better is something we're working on.
So as we go forward with the commissioners, or the councilors, I guess mm-hmm. they call now, we can say there's a huge effort in what you do going on.
Absolutely.
We have to remind them of that regularly. So I just want to hear that from you more.
No, absolutely.
When opportunity.
And it is, the enthusiasm out in the community is strong, and we do hear consistently that people value the parks in our community as an important part of the quality of life here.
And for the Parks Foundation. The Foundation.
Well, thank you. Yeah, now we're going to try to translate that into dollars.
In your pocket, buddy.
That's interesting. We had Councilor Olson and Bolt come out for the Swingmore 24. They swing for a while.
Yeah. That's why I wanted her to say something.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
I just have a quick question. With the severe weather and everything coming in, and our parks being
you know, heavily, most, some of them heavily wooded and everything. Is there a, any kind of prep plan or a reactionary plan to this type of situation?
Basically, you know, it's at your own risk right now when it comes in. If we have some trees that go down or anything like that, we'll close the parks down. If there's hazards that exist, usually that happens when we have snow and ice events.
Right.
You know, you can slip and fall pretty easily, or you can, you know,
run. Well, there was a tornado that hit down in Manzanita apparently today, and so I just thought that, you know, do we close the parks? Do we?
They say Saturday's supposed to be the
Saturday's supposed to be bad. I know our roads crews have put
batten down the hatches.
Our roads crews have put snow plows and all their rigs so they can push trees off the road. But as far as the parks, no. We just hope that people have enough common sense to get out when the trees are doing this.
But we can't
go and chase them out typically. But
my dad used to say common sense isn't so common sometimes.
We're not doing politics today, girl.
Is that it?
So that's it.
Yeah, you're scooting in for the round table.
Yeah, that's great timing. I apologize. I did send a last minute, I'll be late to both of you, but you probably were already on your way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. But I will, with the school report, I can explain. So if you see each a inside Vancouver Public Schools, I've been talking to you all about the potential bond coming up on February 14th related board approval on November 8th. And inside Vancouver Schools describes a little bit about what our district would like to reimagine, starting on page 6, to get a sense of what we're doing or proposed to do. I can talk a little bit about cost for this, although the board has not approved the final amount for our bond. The cost to our average homeowner in the Vancouver Public Schools school boundary will be an increase of $20 per year. So all of these projects that you see in here at current homeowner home rate prices, the way we're able to structure our bonds, because we're paying off a significant amount of our bonds over the next 3 years, is it's an increase for the next 3 years for $20 more than what you're paying now. And then after that, it drops by 17 cents per thousand. So it drops by double that. So if your home were the same price 4 years from now, it'd be a $40 less than what you pay now. Hmm. And then that bond rate is stable then throughout the 20-year life of the bonds. The amount that you'll see most likely come up on your ballot is in the neighborhood of $450 million. And it is a total bond package of $562 million. We have about $100 million coming from other sources, such as our K-3 class size reduction grant, state funding, and some impact fees. So a lot of work in this package, and I'm sure I will have an opportunity to share with you all in other settings in the community as we go forward, but this is predominantly why I've been a little bit late.
Is the bonding right now a good opportunity?
The best it's been since 1960, I don't know. Like the best it's ever been for schools. And we are at the highest rating that you can be in Vancouver Public Schools. So it is incredible timing. It is the perfect time to do this.
So you're looking at your map here. I see, you know, and I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, the rebuild replace is mostly down here on the southern part, which is the older area. So that makes sense. But the new construction, yeah, I get this up here where we've got a lot of building going on. A new school in downtown?
We would, yes.
Well,
we're anticipating 4,000 right now, we know of, on either pre-application or as a part of a planned development or actual in construction, 4,250 units. that are being built in the downtown area. So our downtown school is
we're
confident and we're hopeful that the city recognizes family-friendly environment when they go to do the building on the waterfront and some of these other processes. And our schools are extremely overcrowded, especially at our elementary schools. And we grew by an extra 130 kids this year from last year. So we're, our class size is getting smaller, which is good. But we're out of space. So Halk is the neighborhood school for those 4,250 units that we're aware of.
I was not aware that there was that many going in.
Yeah,
that's
it's exciting.
Lot.
Well, we live in the Lincoln neighborhood and empty nesters, but we're surprised at the number of kids we see in our neighborhood. So, and then also, if you look at the Pearl District, they actually do need schools there.
Yeah, we did about 4 years ago, we did some extensive review of the Pearl District and how sort of what their plan was down there, their overlay, and what they were doing with developers and not doing. And they just, admittedly, when you talk to the city planners, they did not expect such a family, a desire for family living in the downtown. And they got a lot of double income, no kid, had a baby for a while. Some of them are still hanging around. They want to stay. And there's just not that space. There's just too many studios. So anyway, we're hopeful that we've learned a little from that. Good schools across the river. A lot of good growth happening. So.
Great.
What was the number for an elementary school now? I know it's ridiculously high compared to...
It's if you use today's construction dollars, you're at about $32 million.
And what was it like? What's the one up by Skyview was done like?
Skyview was done for $30 million.
Yeah. So
Skyview couldn't be done today for less than $130 million.
So when all your friends say how much this is, there's a reason.
Yeah.
But the key message here.
Capturing the bond level at the level you're doing.
Yeah.
With the percentage rate, with the paying off of the older bonds, there's this small raise for 3 years before it drops below. I mean, it's, when you think about it, $60. If your home didn't go up in value at all, right? $60 for a $450,000 investment in your community is awesome.
Schools are as important.
I'm not advocating. I'm just educating.
Love it.
You're right. They were built in the early 70s. They're built in the 50s.
I went through a number of these symposiums, and I'll tell you, there's some pretty sad situations in some of those buildings.
Walnut Grove. My mom's
were
great to
there. Yeah. Well, there was a school that burned down.
Yeah,
sure.
So,
appreciate it.
We have Malata, but I think Malata, you've seen this.
Yeah. In terms of fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, I have nothing to add to what I've already said. How about you, Kelly?
I have a couple things.
Yeah.
One, I'm going to be gone from December to probably the end of January. I would look forward to Skyping the January meeting, since we're not having a December meeting. So hopefully it'll be up and available.
Absolutely.
On the phone doesn't work, let me tell you.
No. Again.
But, I mean, it works. It's better than nothing. But,
yes.
But,
yeah, I remember what happened where we couldn't Skype in.
We'll
get y'all figured out.
No. Anyway, I'm just giving you the heads up now that
we Skyped last year and it worked out.
I would like to be in attendance to the meetings. I take being on the board or on the commission seriously, but I'm not here. There's no reason not to use technology.
You bet.
Right.
So that said, I would like to let people know that I have worked with the city on, we will be carrying the Arboretum for another 3 years. So the city is concerned about the costs that are going to happen to them with the waterfront park and just how the uncertainty of the budget for that and how they're going to pay for it. And it's a great project, and we don't want to see that not happen. So we've extended our time with the city 3 more years. I mean, 5 years of my life, and to have it not happen because the city was ready to say no, thank you to us. And so we're going 3 more years, and hopefully at that time we'll be in better position to take the property. And I will be moving off but managing the property from afar. And I was going to talk about the weather, but you already brought it up. Thank you. I do believe that I've been through a number of years of when we had ice storms and we had wind storms and a lot of trees down. People do expect their parks to be taken care of, and our budgets are tight, and it's just like a fire. Sometimes the budgets just go crazy. So we just got to brace ourselves for whatever happens. And if Saturday is going to be what some are predicting, we better just know that we're ready to go, and this is part of doing the business that we do. Hopefully we'll bite the bullet and not have any problems. Don't be surprised. And the last thing I wanted to mention is many of you knew Elizabeth Jordan, who was one of our landscape architects at the city, Kids City and County when we were consolidated, was just elected as the president of the New York State ASLA.
Oh, wow.
So
she's
great.
Moved up to the big times in the big city.
Wow.
That's all I have.
Kelsey? No. Pass. I don't have anything.
I'm just happy to be here.
We didn't overwhelm you?
No.
Good job.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on it.
We'll try harder next time.
I think I spoke enough, so thank you for
all right. Great meeting, everyone. See you Thursday.
That was the quickest meeting ever.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Timing. Yeah.
Golly. I'm like, I have to go.
Well, yeah, for once we wrapped up 15 minutes early.
And that's
well, because they're not going to be
well,
That would be great. Yeah, I mean, like, are the benches?